explosive debate, breaking news, and uncensored views. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. A great day to come to terms with our greatest national problem, at least in the opinion of most Americans. There's an alarming Gallup poll. And Gallup does these polls every year about the state of race relations. They've just come up to the conclusion that the worst race relations that we've ever seen in any of their polls, at least in the last 20 years, are now. That somehow relations between black and white people are in terrible shape and vastly worse than they were in 2000. Why is that? Can you blame the Biden administration? Can you blame the Democrats in Congress? Can you blame the people who are in power? And if not, why not? Who do you blame? What is the representation that race relations are so negative right now? Or is this just a media-driven narrative that has seeped into the American consciousness? We will get to that. That relates directly to the question of what should the Republicans run on if they mean to take, and we do, control of the House and of the Senate in 2022. This doesn't require any impeachment. It doesn't require any indictment. It doesn't require any major scandal. What it requires is the Republicans focusing on a message. And what should that message be? Could it be related directly to maybe, just maybe, doing less harm in terms of these race relations? 1-800-955-1776. We'll also be speaking later in this show with two extremely distinguished, nationally known medical experts, including a head of infectious diseases who has been quoted all over the place on issues regarding the COVID-19 vaccines and the state of the pandemic right now and the impact of the Delta variant. I am not a medical doctor. I don't pretend to be. But the two gentlemen we're going to be welcoming very much are. They are on the front lines. They're treating Delta variant COVID-19 patients right now. And also dealing with what is beginning to look like an emergency about getting more people vaccinated. Is that truly an emergency? Is it really the government's job? We will talk about that on the Michael Medved Show. Also, Joe Biden last night trying to juice up his agenda a little bit, move forward with some of the bold accomplishments he was talking about. He's now been president for 6 months. So how is that going? Karl Rove has a powerful piece that says that he is looking toward a drubbing for the Democratic Party in the upcoming elections. They could easily lose 50 seats in the House, which would create a comfortable Republican majority and would retire Nancy Pelosi, presumably forever. Is that real? There are actually liberal columnists who say it's very much real. And one of the reasons, says a columnist named Gary Abernathy, is that Democrats are spending too much time insulting Trump voters. Is that a factor? Gary Abernathy says Trump voters are listening. And they hear it when those insults are delivered. We will talk about all of that on the Michael Medved Show. Also, two public servants in trouble for different reasons. One, a deputy attorney general in a very Republican state who maintained a phony Twitter identity. But the phony Twitter identity was deeply racist. And now he's in a world of hurt and may be forced to resign. And then another city councilman being forced to resign by calling one of his colleagues the N-word in a particularly obnoxious context. And the guy who used the N-word was not black. He was white. He said he was quoting other black people. How does that go? Does that fit in with this race relations story? Well, let's get to that first. The a headline from Gallup Organization, which is really continues to be America's leading polling operation, ratings of black-white relations at new low. Does anybody really believe that? Let me just say at the very outset, I don't. I think this is a media-driven story, and that when it comes to actually the way people work together, the way people get along, when it comes to friendships, when it comes to romances, when it comes to marriages, when it comes to friendship relations and neighbor relations, I don't believe that black and white relations are at a new low. I mean, when you look at just the history of some of the riots in living memory back in the 1960s and 1970s, when you look at cities that were torn apart by crime, now crime is rising again, but is that really an example of race relations deteriorating? The overwhelming majority of violent crime has to do with people victimizing their own racial group. There is far more white-on-white crime than there is black-on-white crime. And multiples more, vastly more black-on-black crime than there is white-on-black crime. So what is this deal with black-white rate relations at a new low? The Gallup story says, story highlights two-year, nine-point drop in overall positive ratings of race relations. Only 33% of black adults say race relations are somewhat good or very good. 40% of black adults say race relations will eventually work out. That's down 14 points. And by the way, much lower than with white people. The for the second consecutive year, writes Gallup, U.S. adults' positive ratings of relations between black and white Americans are at their lowest point in more than two decades of measurement. Currently, 42% of Americans of all races say relations between blacks and whites are very or somewhat good, while 57% say they are somewhat or very bad. That's a landslide that says that race relations are very bad. And here's the stunning thing. When you look back, even during the before the Obama administration, and you can understand that people felt, well, we have a black president, that must be a sign that race relations are much better, and people are going to be less likely to say that race relations are bad or very bad if you have Barack Obama sitting in the White House and getting reelected. But it's even before then, if you go back and you look the year before Barack Obama was elected, in 2007, you had still a significantly high percentage of individuals who thought that race relations were very or somewhat good. You had 71% in 2007. And now it's down to 42%. That's shocking. And you look at that in 20 years, down more than 30 points. What has gotten worse, actually? Has black economic performance gotten worse? No. Educational performance? No, it's gotten better. And the gaps between whites and blacks have closed. Even on the life expectancy that we were talking about, the gap between black and white life expectancy has closed dramatically. So what makes people think race relations are worse? We will get to that and more coming up on the Medved Show.
1-800-955-1776. The Michael Medved Show.
the Michael Medved Show, talking about the perception that people seem to have, at least according to a major new Gallup poll, a perception that people now believe that black and white race relations are at a new low. Why? What is that based on? Again, if you look at the numbers, I was mentioning the life expectancy numbers. They report in the New York Times today on this issue about the life expectancy in America going down a shockingly big percentage in terms of the expectations that people have of a normal lifespan. It's gone down a year and a half in 1 year, which is alarming. But they do point out that though there have been long racial and ethnic disparities in life expectancy, the gaps had been narrowing for decades. In 1993, white Americans were expected to live 7.1 years longer than black Americans. But the gap has been winnowed to 4.1 years in 2019. Now, that's a huge difference, and especially given the fact that white life expectancy has gone up during that period, and black white expectancy has gone up even faster. And when you look at the rate of college graduation, when you look at the general measures of school performance, when you look at it, it's not that black and white people are exactly the same right now. They didn't start out exactly the same. Obviously, there is a legacy of slavery, and there's a legacy of Jim Crow, and there is a legacy of oppression. But by any reasonable measure, we've gotten better on that. And what's the big exception? The big exception is police shootings of unarmed black males. Now, has that gone up or has that gone down? It's gone way down. And everyone who keeps statistics takes a look at that. It's extraordinarily rare. The amount of black murder of other black people is high. And that's what's getting higher. And that's what's getting worse. But does that have anything to do with race relations? What has to do with race relations, and the only basis for recent riots of any kind, or racial violence in the streets, one could say, has to do with the question of police shootings, which has become a media obsession. Why? Because people are fascinated by it, because it's dramatic, because people are indignant, because people are upset. But in terms of the problems facing black America, in terms of actually holding people back, in terms of creating inequality, and especially given the fact that, that policing has gotten so much better in so many different cities, at least not those cities that have not been subject to big cuts in police budgets. And then if you look at this graph that Gallup provides, Jeremy, I hope we can post this on our website and maybe send it out with our newsletter. By the way, you can get our newsletter tomorrow. It's completely free. Just sign up for it. Go to michaelmedved.com. If you go back to 2001, in 2001, we had a significantly higher percentage of people who thought race relations were good than think they're good now. So you can't say, well, this is all Trump, or it's all Obama, or it's all who happens to be president. It's a deeper change, and I think it has to do with the media obsession with the racial issue, which they have been banging on and banging on and banging on since, actually, since the Obama administration. And yes, there were some horrifying crimes. I'm not minimizing the killing at the Charleston church that claimed 9 lives. That was a terrible thing. It was a terrible crime. Did anyone speak up in behalf of that evil should get the death penalty, Dylann Roof, remember that? Anyone speak up in his behalf? If race relations were really so bad, if white people and black people were really hating each other so much, as public opinion seems to indicate, wouldn't you expect there would be something like that? Americans' poor assessment of black-white relations stands alone in Americans' assessment of relations between other U.S. racial and ethnic groups. Large majorities of America, of Americans, rate relations between Hispanic and white people as good. Between black and Hispanic people, good. Asian and white people and black and Asian people is good. The only one relationship that is rated negatively and by a landslide is white people and black people. Would that part of this be political manipulation? Because I think part of it is. The whole emphasis on the 1619 Project, and yes, what people call critical race theory, and the idea of paying reparations. Now, there's been a little bit of a holdback on that, but again, if all of a sudden people are arguing about does one racial group owe another racial group in America the payment of trillions of dollars because of past evils, and yes, there were past evils, but is that money owed? If people are actually arguing about that, then I can understand why people would look at this and say that race relations were bad. What does this have to do with the election that is coming up? It seems to me everything. Because if there is one thing that President Biden ran on, it was that when Trump was out of the White House, race relations would improve. And meanwhile, what improved in the election of 2020 was Trump's performance among black voters somewhat, and somewhat notably among black men. Trump generally does not perform well, didn't in either of his elections with female voters. But look, the idea that he did win in this last election, white women. And what does that indicate? It indicates that Democrats, to a very great extent, have been dependent upon making sure that white and black people vote differently. Why? Because Republicans, for the last series of elections, have won so decisively among white voters. Which Democratic candidate did best, according to most analysis and exit polls among white voters? We will get to that and what Republicans should be emphasizing in the elections coming up on the Michael Medved Show.
From politics to pop culture and from coast to coast, this is the Michael Medved Show. 1-800-955-1776. The Michael Medved Show.
On the Michael Medved Show, there's a Trump voter who says he no longer supports Trump, but someone who voted for President Trump in 2020, and I assume in 2016, who says that the Democrats are going to lose if they continue insulting, demeaning, disregarding, looking with contempt at Trump voters. Now, the fact that this appears in the Washington Post, I think, is very encouraging. And it indicates that maybe we should talk a little bit more about issues. We still have the question, what should it be at a time when people think that race relations stink? What should Republicans say about making things better? And maybe about winning some more minority support. 1-800-955-1776. Dan, who's calling in from Idaho, you're on the Medved Show.
Hello, Michael. It's a pleasure to talk to you today. I mean, I'm calling to mainly make the point that I think the left is bringing up all these race issues, critical race theory, the 1619 Project, because strategically they're trying to keep minority communities from migrating into the conservative support and movement. And I think to counter that, it's time for us. I've been a candidate in Idaho in the past for 10 years in the Idaho legislature. I think it's time for us to really aggressively recruit conservatives of the minority community, people like Tim Scott and Jesse Owens and Candace Owens and others. Those people, in my view, are as good or better conservatives because they intuitively understand that if we lose America as we know it, it's going to be virtually impossible for people at the bottom to climb up into the middle class. So I think that ought to be our counter strategy to what the left is doing with all these incredibly stupid race issues that they're bringing up.
Well, again, I think that's one of the reasons if you see the polling on reparations, it's not overwhelming support or anything close to overwhelming support. It's about 50-50 for reparations in terms of black voters. In terms of white voters, it's overwhelmingly. Are you kidding me? We're paying now, what is it, Biden's looking at $5 trillion more in federal spending, and then we're supposed to add to that another, people are estimating $15 trillion to pay for slavery reparations. And I think you're right, Dan. I agree with what you're saying. I think part of this is strategic. And the Democrats aren't worried about suddenly a big majority of black voters going for Republicans. They're just worried about an even split. Because if you look around the country and you look around Senate races, it's not just Idaho. If black voters were split evenly or anything like evenly, there'd be no question about who would win control of the House. There'd be no question about who would win control of the Senate, and there'd be no question about who would win the presidency. And this has been one of those things. You remember when Mitt Romney was presidential candidate, and a lot of us had great and high hopes, I certainly did, for Governor Romney, now Senator Romney. But he didn't make it, and then afterward they did what they called a post-mortem. Basically examination, pathological examination about what was wrong with the Republican Party. And what people came up with, and this is 2012, it's almost 10 years ago now, and people came up with the need to do better among minority voters. There is evidence that President Trump did significantly better among male Latino voters, and did somewhat better among male black voters. And that moving in that direction, and I think your point about the middle class and the ability to enter the middle class and move up and to continue to make progress, and also to recognize the progress that has been made, to encourage gratitude rather than grievance, gratitude rather than griping. That, it seems to me, is also a very important way to reach more people. Appreciate your call greatly, and good luck with your own future races. Gary Abernathy says in the Washington Post, when supporters of former President Donald Trump hear media pundits analyze them with the usual collection of belittling observations, they must be tempted to respond, "Hey, we're right here. We can hear you." Yeah, they are indeed here and living among us, writes Gary Abernathy. And they have every right to be insulted by being accused of believing a big lie and by the implication that they are violent or traitors or mindless sheep, racist sheep, of course. They're fed up, not just with the overt insults, but also with more subtle digs, such as former Defense Secretary Leon Panetta saying last week that he worries that Trump will continue to try to somehow sway his followers to attempt another January 6th-style uprising. Followers? No one refers to President Biden's followers. It's a word generally reserved for adherents of cult figures. And then Abernathy says, I live in Trump country. I was a Trump supporter. until he lost me with his actions after the 2020 election. And by the way, polling shows he lost a lot of supporters with the way that he conducted himself after the 2020 election. But most Trump voters have stuck with him. That's Gary Abernathy's report, and it's correct. With Trump's encouragement, they sincerely believe that the election was stolen. They're not racists. They're not traitors. Some of them think anyone who accepts Biden's win is a traitor. Some of them think I'm traitorous. Or at the very least, I've surrendered to the evil influences of the mainstream media for accepting Trump's defeat. Polls are occasionally produced to perpetuate the myth that Trump voters are ready for war. Even the conservative American Enterprise Institute reported in February that 39% of Republicans polled agreed with the statement, "If elected leaders will not protect America, the people must do it themselves, even if it requires violent actions." Okay, asking people, "Do you agree with a statement like that?" is a setup. Because basically what it's saying to people, listen to the wording again and think of how it could be worded differently. If elected leaders will not protect America, the people must do it themselves, even if it requires violent actions. That's not saying that elected leaders do something they disagree with. It's saying they won't protect America. It's saying they're selling out their country. What kind of response do you expect to get? Then people should basically just take it? As the point that is questionable in this poll is the use of the term violent actions and people agreeing to that. But even there, it's only 39% of the people, and there's a bigger percentage of that. That's 39% of Republicans. So it's not even a majority of the people who voted for Trump who agree with that statement. Daniel Cox acknowledged the speculative nature of the question by cautioning, "We shouldn't run out and say, oh my goodness, 40% of Republicans are going to attack the Capitol." No, they aren't. In fact, the Capitol riot wasn't even mentioned in the question. So it wasn't necessarily what respondents were thinking when they answered. Okay, so what should Republicans emphasize? And what are Democrats emphasizing wrong? And there's a lot. To try to win for Democrats to hold on to control of Congress in 2022 next year. We'll get to that and more on The Medved Show.
1-800-955-1776. The Michael Medved Show. That's 1-800-955-1776.
Michael Medved Show, talking about what the election is going to come down to. And most elections, particularly midterm elections, basically come down to how you think the new president is doing. And they basically have a piece by Jonathan Allen over at NBC News, which again is a shockingly fair piece. Just like that Washington Post piece that I was sharing with you by Gary Abernathy, I think is a fair piece. And I think it's an insightful piece about how Democrats are going to destroy themselves by trying to insult everybody, all of those 74 million people who voted for Donald Trump. Now, some of those folks have left Trump. There's no question about it. And it's because, I think, of the inability to accept the election and to continue harping on trying to replay the election of 2020. It's not a good strategy for the GOP. But what is a good strategy for the GOP, and which is one of the issues that worked well for President Trump, and all the polling shows it, is public safety, is crime. And the piece by Jonathan Allen that I mentioned at NBC News crafting midterm message Republicans sees on crime spikes. Well, of course. Of course. And if all of a sudden crime has started to go up dramatically and the increase in crime seems to coincide almost exactly with Joe Biden coming into office and with Democrats across the country trying to cut police budgets and to undermine police organizations and law enforcement generally, that's a great issue. And in fact, my producer, Jeremy Steiner, very cleverly has come up with a three-point, the three S's that he thinks Republicans should emphasize. Now, I'm not sure I agree with him entirely on all of them, but it's certainly worth sharing, and it's very smart of Jeremy because three things are easy to remember. Recently, a bunch of Democrats had come up with they were going to win the election of 2022 on the three W's. The three W's were work, wages, and weed. In other words, promising more work, a booming, growing economy, okay, and then higher wages, raising the minimum wage, which hardly seems necessary at this point because there's so many states that have already raised the minimum wage, and because right now there's a labor shortage. And you don't have to, what you have to do is actually raise the difference between getting some kind of unemployment benefits or government welfare payments and the difference between that and actually working. But in any event, and the third one was weed, was right now the polling for legalized marijuana is very, very high. And it could be that'll be one of Democrats' biggest promises because they're going to have trouble simply defending some of the Biden record economically. There are all kinds of polls, panels, focus groups that show that swing district voters are very worried about inflation. And President Biden didn't speak about it particularly effectively last night. We will get to that. He had a town hall on CNN in Cincinnati. And he spoke very effectively about a bridge that needs fixing in Cincinnati. And bridges need fixing all over the country. They're going to do that. I assume that they will pass some kind of compromise infrastructure bill, but there's literally trillions of dollars of more spending that Biden is talking about. So Jeremy's talking about safety, schools, and shots. The shots may be a surprise. We'll explain to you why it's not coming up. But again, and you're seeing in conservative media, particularly on Fox News, more and more voices who are saying, hey, Americans, protect yourself. Help your country. Get your vaccinations. There has been a change this week in a lot of voices on conservative media. Not all. The new radio voice who says that 1.2 million people have died from vaccines. This is a lie. You talk about the big lie, that's a lie. We'll be speaking coming up to two distinguished physicians on the front lines. We'll ask them about that. The idea of coming up with a program, with an alternative, with a fresh start, I think is very important, but it is more important for Democrats because other than that, if they don't have something more that they're going to offer, if they're just going to be offering more of the same, you're going to have the same results you had for President Clinton's first midterm election, President Barack Obama's first midterm election, and President Trump's midterm election. They all had the same reaction, which was they all lost more than 40 seats. They really did, more than 40 seats in the House of Representatives, a crushing defeat for each of them, for Clinton, for Obama, and for Trump. And that could be in Joe Biden's future unless the economy is better handled and he does something about the spending and the inflation, which are going to be very, very great difficulties for Democrats. Jeremy has a comment up here that when you talk about the Democrats wanting to run on the three-point program of wages, work, and weed, he comments, usually when weed is involved, there's no work and there's no wages. Well, you know, there's working in marijuana shops, I guess, in parts of the country. But with all of this going on, can there be any question at all that most of the issues on the table right now, with the DACA just being declared unconstitutional? And again, they're not saying it's unconstitutional to go ahead and have Congress authorize a path to citizenship or a path to legal work status by people who were brought here as unauthorized immigrants when they were children. Congress can certainly do this, and by the way, should have done it 20 years ago, but they haven't. And the president simply can't do it on his own. That's what the judge said in the DACA case. And right now, no one's even talking about fixing it. And that's the life and future of some 800,000 Americans. It's a crazy situation. The NBC reports, in solidly conservative Mississippi, Mike Ezell, a Gulf Coast sheriff, is centering his primary challenge against the incumbent Steve Palazzo on defund the police, or his opposition to it, a position shared by both men. Sending someone to Congress to support law enforcement and oppose efforts to defund the police are key parts of Sheriff Ezell's background that make him a natural fit for issues people are focusing on right now. So said a Josh Gregory, a senior advisor to Ezell's campaign. GOP operatives in Washington see the debate over rising crime rates and police funding levels as a potent issue. Well, of course it is. Look at James Craig. James Craig is the black former police chief in Detroit who has actually raised some pretty good questions. How come Detroit didn't burn down when Minneapolis and Portland and Seattle and many other cities were burning down? I mean, Santa Monica, California was being rioted and looted. Detroit, not so much. And it had to do with part of his leadership as police chief. Now he's running for governor against Gretchen Whitmer. And that's why the shots issue is still an issue. I think that Joe Biden would have loved to be able to do a victory lap. And frankly, so would we all. And not have the pandemic hanging over our shoulders or representing some kind of continuing issue. And I mentioned that Jeremy had mentioned schools. The schools issue, and I think that that's one of his three S's, was schools, safety, and shots. Schools has to do with what we teach in schools, the critical race theory, 1619 Project, and with school choice, which could be a reform issue that can mobilize all kinds of votes for Republicans. The debate will continue. We will be coming back with two outstanding medical experts, real heroes of the struggle against COVID-19, to answer your questions and mine about this greatest nation on God's green earth.